Well, this time last year, Atletico Ottawa was not even a twinkle in the eye. I'm not going to do that. Atletico Ottawa didn't exist a year ago, and it has completely taken over the CPL's world, especially in the spring when all of a sudden we had an eighth team and then everything that follows after that. But Ottawa goes to the Island Games, pulls this team together at the last minute, and performs quite well. This is a second in our running behind FC Edmonton, of course, so Ottawa finishes second last. But there were tons of positives from PEI. We're joined by AJ Jakubik of TSN Radio in Ottawa. Is that how you say your last name, AJ?
You got it. You nailed it.
Excellent. So you were there. You were there. Very few people were. So maybe let's start there. So you get into the bubble in PEI, and like, what was that experience like for you?
It's great. It was challenging, right? I'm a guy that I love to travel. Road trips, whether it's hockey. I mean, I've gone on the road in soccer before. Do CFL as well. So go everywhere throughout the CFL season. And so, like, when you get into town and it's summer, so let's think CFL season, and you're in Montreal or Vancouver, you get your work done ASAP, and then, you know, if it's a nice day, go and walk around and enjoy just the fact that you get to experience some of the best cities in Canada. So first time in PEI, you roll in and it's not like you didn't know what was up, right? You knew the rules. You knew exactly what you were in for to a certain extent, right? But it's beautiful, and you're looking outside, and it's, you know, right outside my window was, downtown, and all these restaurants with patios open, and you know, it were different times in terms of the pandemic too. I mean, whereas, you know, where I was coming from in Ottawa, yeah, patios were open and that sort of thing. It still wasn't crazy busy. PEI had no cases at the time. So they're living life as it was pretty much normal, as you're looking outside the window and you're thinking, geez, I'd like to be on that patio myself. So there were challenges over the course of the 6 weeks, but overall, tremendous experience.
2020 for Atletico Ottawa specifically was just such a kind of roller coaster, from kind of the club just beginning to maybe starting to think about starting a season, to then having to build a new roster in like July. Probably a wilder ride for them than any other CPL club. Just in terms of how well they were able to play at times on the pitch in PEI, how impressed were you or surprised with what they were able to do with kind of the year that they'd had and how quickly they'd had to bring the squad together?
It's interesting because before I jumped on that plane, I didn't really give them much chance of getting to the last four. I thought they might be competitive, but I didn't really see them as having a strong enough roster to compete top to bottom. They didn't really seem to have a lot of depth on paper. And I think in the end, that was probably their undoing. But it was one of those things where you thought, geez, like, I look at this team on paper and I think they're going to struggle. And then once you got actually talking to people like Fernando Lopez and Mista and some of the players, you noticed a quiet confidence right off the bat. So all of a sudden, heading into that first game, I thought, you know what? This team might be able to surprise a little bit and push. I didn't think they were going to be in the top two or anything like that, battling Forge or Cavalry, who dominated the previous season. But you thought, okay, there's a quiet confidence, and that's a good thing, because if there's a sense on the team that they're going to struggle, then they are going to struggle. This is my fourth experience doing an expansion team. Ottawa Fury was one. The Edmonton Oil Kings was one, and the Ottawa Red Blacks was one. So three different sports. And, you know, the one thing that you expect in year one is the unexpected. You just really don't know how it's going to come together. But I think they did a really good job of building their foundation. That's the one thing I learned from those other teams as well. And, you know, the Edmonton Oil Kings, I did the first 3 years. They're bad the first 3 years, made the playoffs in year two, but you could see the foundation was being built. And sure enough, in year five, they won a Western Hockey League championship. In year seven, they won a Memorial Cup. With the Ottawa Red Blacks, same thing. Year two, they won, they're 2-16 in year one. But year two, they won 12 games, went to a Grey Cup, and then won it the next year in year three. And with the Ottawa Fury, with the group that they had at the start with Mark DeSantos as the head coach, Philip DeSantos and Martin Nash as their assistants, and the foundation that they had built, they were competitive in year one. And by year two, they were right in the mix with the New York Cosmos with Raul and Marcus Senna, and just their high-priced team that they had, you know, where they lost to them in the Soccer Bowl in 2015. So you got the sense that that foundation was there. And I think, you know, it starts with Atletico Madrid and you know, a top 15 club in the world. And in every – doesn't matter what category you're talking about, revenue, fan interest, you know, just how well they've performed. They've been certainly top 10 in the world the last 10 years in terms of, you know, just reaching Champions League finals and winning that La Liga. They're right in the mix for both again here this year. So you've got Atletico Ottawa with, you know, Atletico Madrid, sorry, with the resources, the tradition, the know-how, you know, the buy-in. They've done this before. You look at the success of Atletico San Luis in Liga MX, getting promoted to the top league in Mexico in year two, and you say, okay, you know, they've got an idea of how this works. Now, it works different in every country and every league, and certainly Canada is no different that way. There's different challenges that you'd have in Canada than you would in Mexico and Spain and some other places around the world for sure, but just to have that Atletico Madrid name, I think, and the resources behind it is huge to start. And then, you know, you have to have the right people in place. And I think with Jeff Hunt, I mean, this is a guy that has had tremendous success both on and off the playing field when you look at his success with the 67s and the Red Blacks. And so you think, okay, well, they've got another really good hire there, someone who knows the market. And then, you know, you get to know people like Fernando Lopez and Mista, and it's obvious that they hired the right people in those roles as well. So from that perspective, I think, you know, the foundation has been built. But, yeah, I mean, going into that first game, there's still that complete unknown of what you're going to get. And through 50-some-odd minutes until Vachon Neuville got sent off in that game, they dominated York 9 and were, you know, full value for a 2-0 lead. And things changed after that. And then, you know, the next game, they struggled late against Valor. And then the next game, they blew another 2-0 lead against FC Edmonton. And you're thinking, okay, well, they just need to close out some of these games. And eventually they were able to do that in, you know, the win against Cavalry and, you know, secured another great win late in the 90th minute on that VT Martinez goal against Pacific FC, which put them in a spot where they controlled their own destiny going into the last game. And you couldn't have asked, I think, for a better script. And I actually think that had they, let's say they'd gone on to win the tournament, I'm not sure that would have been the best start. Like everyone wants to win, but you haven't even played a game in front of your home fans, and all of a sudden the expectations are so high that, you know what, okay, we won. I guess, you know, nowhere to go from here. Now at least they've created a little bit of hunger. They've created a little bit of excitement, and we'll see once they're allowed to bring back fans. You know, I think even if you're allowed to start at 20-25%, in a 25,000 seat stadium, you know, Ottawa could have a leg up in that department. So, yeah, I think in terms of everything that they brought to the table, from the way they played football to the results to just the foundation that was built, and I think that's most important. Honestly, couldn't have asked for a better first season, and let's see how things progress from here.
Well, that's leads us into another question here, specifically about the impact that you think this club will have on the Ottawa Valley, Ottawa in general, because you obviously have that experience with the Fury, and, you know, I think it's unfair to compare the two, certainly, and this is a tough question to answer because of the pandemic, because because there hasn't been any home games. So, like, what do you think the impact of this club, and what do you think the potential it has in this city?
I think really high. I think, you know, and I know there was, you know, some acrimony in terms of, you know, what went on at the end with Ottawa Fury and, you know, not joining Canadian Premier League and all that kind of stuff. But I look at all the positives, and I think over the course of 6 years, they were able to build a foundation of pro soccer in the city of Ottawa. And that might be lost in other places in Canada, but that's not going to be lost on the market of Ottawa. And I think that's important. I think the fact that they've been able to kind of build that foundation, the fact that in 2015, for example, they had crowds of 10,000, you know, when they had, you know, they had a couple of crowds of 10,000 when they hosted Vancouver and Toronto later on in the Canadian Championship, but they had 10,000 people a couple of times that season, including in the semifinal when they beat Minnesota United. So that helped build a foundation. Like, it's not, you're not reinventing the wheel here. You're not selling pro soccer to Ottawa for the first time. And yeah, they had the Intrepid back in the late 80s, but even that didn't last very long, and they weren't in a great facility when they played in the old Canadian Soccer League. So this is something that's not going to be brand new, so that's a good thing. I think Jeff Hunt, again, you can't underscore just how important he is to this organization in terms of knowing the market and what they can do, and just believing that you could achieve. You know, everyone kind of looks at a number, and I think 5,000 a game is a number that everyone looks at to say, okay, you know what, you know, the Fury in their heyday got over 5,000 a game, so this team could get over 5,000 a game. Well, I think with the Jeff Hunt factor, with just the uniting of, you know, a lot of different people that maybe were on different pages when it came to soccer in Ottawa, I think, you know, the sky's the limit. Can they get 10,000 a game? You know, maybe that's pushing it a little bit, but I say, why not? If people didn't think they could get 9,000 a game for the 67s, why can't they get 10,000 a game? For that, maybe you're not getting 10,000 every game, but if you get a couple of games where you do really well with group sales, and I know Jeff Hunt has a pretty good sense of that, then maybe you can get a couple games of 20,000. And if you do that, then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, 7,000-8,000 the rest of the year gets you to 10. So they understand the importance of involving the youth clubs. Not all the youth clubs were on, and it wasn't OSEG's fault, but not all the youth clubs were on the same page when it came to supporting the Fury. And some of that goes back to just the history of Ottawa Fury competing against them at lower levels. And so, you know, that was frustrating to watch at times, some of the clubs around town not supporting them. And I think right now all the clubs have shown a lot of support, and you look at the supporters groups. I mean, even in the best of times, when they were getting between 5,000 and 10,000, they had two supporters groups. They've got four, the two carryovers, Stony Monday Riot and the Bytown Boys, but they've got two other supporters groups as well. So from that perspective, I think we're going to see, you know, again, once you get to normal times, you're going to, you know, that's the thing. I mean, if all of a sudden you're allowed a full stadium in, say, May, you know, I'd say maybe they can get 7,000 to 10,000 in year one. Now, it's hard to predict because of the pandemic, just because you don't know what teams are going to be able to welcome. You don't know just, you know, where people are going to be at in terms of their comfort level. You know, when's everybody getting the vaccine? There's a lot of unanswered questions, but I think long term, everything is in place to have a successful franchise, you know, certainly on the pitch, but off the pitch as well.
Any number of thousand would be great to see in 2021. AJ, thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, pleasure, guys. Take care.